Hello and welcome to Fundamentally Functional, Pearson's podcast on functional skills. My name is Chris Briggs and I am the Sector Manager for Post-16 English and Maths here at Pearson. And with me today I have Hattie Blythe.
Hi, I'm Hattie. I'm a Content and Assessment Administrator for Functional Skills English Level 1 and 2. And I am looking after Level 1 and 2 speaking and listening.
Thank you. And Hattie's here today with us because we want to talk about the assessments for speaking and listening. We've been doing a few network events recently and a lot of questions have come up with regard to the speaking and listening, especially at level one, level two. So we thought we'd have another go at a podcast at this and see if we can sort of sort out any issues that centres may have. So in your role, Hattie, you look at sort of the allocations and SVs and things like that. Yep. So what is a standards verifier looking for on a visit?
So a standards verification visit is done so that an SV can make a decision on whether or not a centre should retain their lead IV status. It's the lead IV's responsibility to prove that all criteria for level one and two speaking and listening is met by the centre. So they're looking for an understanding of standards, learners, their role, and quality assurance.
Okay, and this all sort of starts once the centre's done the OSCAR process. So once they've had the OSCAR process, a standards verifier will be allocated to the centre, and they'll get in touch with the centre about sort of when is the best time to visit. So when they're coming out to visit, which we're going to be looking at for the new year, what is the standards verifier looking for specifically from a centre?
So they're looking for a few things. They're after a minimum of 4 assessment activities. These must be viewed by the standards verifier. They also want to look at assessment record sheets from the past 2 years. Centres are required to make 1 video recording of live assessments per task, per level, prior to the visit, so that the SV can go and view them. Audio recordings aren't accepted. They're also looking for things like sampling plans, sampling records, dates of when lead IVs accessed OSCAR materials, records of monitoring assessment practice, so that includes feedback from assessors, dates of internal standardisation, names of assessors who attended, and records of any discussion points.
Okay, so with the video in, now we're actually just looking for 1 example of every task.
Yes.
Okay, and that's a bit of a change because before we used to require a little bit more from a centre. Obviously the preference is for the standards verifier to see live materials, but we do understand what it's like on the day trying to get learners to turn up at the right time in the right place, or for work-based learning centres where everybody's working in company. It's very difficult to get people sort of organised on the day. So that's what we're looking for. And we're basically, for level one, level two, looking for an example of a level one discussion and a level one mini talk and a level two discussion and a level two mini presentation.
Yes.
Okay. So we will be doing some face-to-face visits and some remote visits. What is the difference for a centre between those two?
Remote visits are in person, whereas face-to-face visits are. And this year, I think it's important to mention that all reform centres will be getting a face-to-face visit. Legacy centres, they'll probably get a remote visit unless it's deemed appropriate for them to be given a face-to-face visit or they request it.
Yeah, it's talking within Pearson, it's generally with the remote visits, it's where a centre's been doing this for a while. If we have a new centre, they're more likely to get a face-to-face visit from what I've heard.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, one of the questions that keeps coming up is about the use of technology. Is it possible, for example, for a centre to use Skype or Microsoft Teams to do their assessments for speaking and listening?
Well, as you've just mentioned, we do understand that there are instances where learning environments aren't necessarily traditional, or people aren't always able to be together for assessments. We do understand that. And if it's not possible for all learners to be together for the assessment, this can be done remotely, but you've just got to make sure that it's recorded for the SV.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for clearing that up for us. In terms of any issues a centre might have, what's the process for that?
So you'll be allocated an SV, and that should be your main point of contact if you have any concerns. However, you are encouraged to, you know, you can contact me, or you can email fsassessment@pearson.com, and that'll probably again be me replying to that. So yeah, you've got plenty of people to reach out to.
Okay, thank you for that. So moving away from the actual what the SV is looking for, what I thought we'd do is take a look at sort of the assessment specifically at level one, level two. Now, prior to working for Pearson, I was a lead IV for functional skills English at two centres, one work-based learning and one FE. And what I've sort of come up with is a way that I personally would sort of look at these assessments. The key here is that obviously this is just my thoughts. It's a good example of good practice, but you may have better ideas that you want to do yourself. I think one of the key changes comes from the need for the learners to demonstrate their listening skills far more than they used to have to do on the legacy. So as part of the tasks now, at both level one, level two, not only do the learners have to give a mini talk or a mini presentation, but they also have to observe one as well, to give themselves the opportunity to ask questions. And I would recommend that they ask at least two questions wherever possible with regard to this. Now, in a perfect scenario, in a perfect setup, you'll have three or four learners together. And what you'd be able to do then is one learner would give their presentation and then the other learners would ask questions. I wouldn't recommend doing this with more learners than that. If you have a full class of learners, by the time you get to the last learner, every single possible question will have been asked and they'll struggle to ask a relevant question that's pertinent and interesting. So we would recommend keeping the numbers down. Similarly, if you are dealing with learners on a one-to-one basis, what we're saying is the learners would need to observe a presentation or mini talk, and that the assessor can be the one delivering that. Now, this is a good opportunity, especially on apprenticeship, to deliver some learning. So the assessor can go on and do a little bit of learning with the learner and use this to then generate questions that the learner can ask, and that would then work as an assessment. I think the key part there though is the learner needs to know it is an assessment and not just a lesson where they're asking questions. That is one of the key things with the functional skills. The learners do need to know they're being assessed. Now, in terms of the content, for level one, for the mini talk, pretty much the learners can do whatever they wish. The standards are not too strict there. So whilst doing the networks, I was giving demonstrations of doing presentations around cats and things like that, or their hobbies, which would allow sort of the learners to put their information across as they would. With level two, I think it needs to be a bit of a meatier topic. And the key as well is that for both, they do need to be doing some research. So it's not just completely off the top of their heads in there. I also personally would recommend never using PowerPoint or tools like that with the learners. From my experience, I find that the learners spend 6 to 7 hours preparing a PowerPoint presentation and 2 minutes thinking about what they're actually going to say, when it really should be the other way around, and gives them a better opportunity for passing. In terms of the discussions, the key is the level one discussion is 10 minutes, the level two discussion is 15 minutes, and those times are important. They need to make sure they do hit those times. They don't have to be exact, but it has to be over. And again, in terms of what I would do, The first piece of advice is always set the discussions up as a question. If you've ever done any assessing of speaking and listening, there is always that painful bit at the end where the learners think they finished, where they don't know if they finished, and there's a bit of dead air where they're sort of looking around going, are we done? So the key to that is if there's a question, they've got the opportunity then to go back to the question and actually just reiterate their answers to that question. In terms of what you can do for topics, one of the key things is the word unfamiliar has been removed from the standards so that learners can do something on a fairly familiar topic, though again they do need to do preparation. So something that I looked at myself as a particular topic that would work for both level one and level two would be sort of what changes would you make to improve the college or the provider where you are. The key part is they know what it's like to be at that provider, to be at that college, but from then they can then do some research in the local area about what other colleges offer in terms of, I don't like to say the word perks, but perks for attending. So I know, for example, there's a college up in Sunderland that offers a free breakfast for its learners every day. Obviously, it's a small college. It's not got 3,000 learners. I don't think anyone can afford 3,000 breakfasts on a daily basis. But what is key there, by having those breakfasts, it guarantees that the learners are in and they're ready to learn because they're fed. And it also allows them to put their English and math sessions at the beginning of the day, knowing the learners are going to come in for breakfast anyway. So attendance is far less of an issue. Now, obviously, a learner could then sort of bring that information up as something that could be done to improve a college. I know a college that I work with, for example, has a rule about no hats and no hoodies, whereas other colleges don't have this rule. And you might have a learner that is particularly keen on wearing their hat. If they have hair like mine, they will be quite keen on wearing a hat wherever possible. So they can put that in together. Now, we are saying it is feasible to assess the level one and the level two at the same time, but the key thought here has to be given to the level two learners. They are the priority in terms of what needs to be achieved. So if you've got level one, level two learners in the same group for a discussion, it has to be a 15-minute discussion, otherwise the level two learners would sort of fail, and it has to be a meatier topic in there as well. What I'd just like to do is say thank you for listening today and thank you for downloading this podcast. We will have another podcast for you shortly, so keep looking on our website. And I'd also like to say thank you to Hattie for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you. And hopefully we'll be speaking to you soon.